It's part of our background. We know the story. May the story speak to us this evening. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 15, 11 through 22. And then he said, "There was once a man who had two sons. And the younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. And it wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. And there, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. And after he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. And he was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. And that brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farmhands working for my father sit down to three meals a day, and here I am, starving to death. I'm going back to my father, and I'll say to him, "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand." And he got right up and went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and his heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son started his speech. "Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again." But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, "Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive. Given up for lost and now found." And they began to have a wonderful time. And just three verses from Matthew 11. I struggled with myself, but I grew up with Matthew 11 in the older translation. And it speaks to my heart because it happens to be part of scripture that really gave direction to my life for many years in my earlier life. Matthew 11, 28, 30. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here ends our scripture for this evening. May it be that you and I can hear and sense God's presence in what we just read and what we are about to participate in this evening. I ask your forgiveness. I'm coming out of laryngitis, and you will find there's something funny in the voice. I'm not trying to act. It's real. And please understand. My friends, a woman and her dear old grandmother, who was a very forgiving and a religious soul, were sitting on their porch as discussing a real black sheep member of the family, as we sometimes do. The one said, "Young woman," she said, "Grandma, Solomon is just no good. He's completely untrustworthy and very lazy." "Yes, he's bad," the grandmother said, as she rocked back and forth in a rocker. But, my child, Jesus loves him. Oh, I'm not so sure of that, the younger woman persisted. Oh, yes, assured the elderly woman. Jesus loves him. So she rocked and thought for a few more minutes, and then she added softly, of course, Jesus doesn't know him like we do. My friends, the Hebrew Testament tells us how King David fell into sin and how he turned away from God. We know the story. And there came a day that his sin caught up with him, and he discovered that he could no longer live a lie, he could no longer tell a lie. So the Bible says that he turned to God in sack and ash, pleading for forgiveness. And David's faithful God granted forgiveness. And what happened? King David became whole again. The one who gave us God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Received forgiveness. And he poured his soul in Psalm 103. One can actually hear the joy and renewal that King David experienced in his own words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now King David was no longer concerned with his sin. He was concerned in the presence of God, and he was singing again. Now that's one thing about us. When it comes to admitting our human desire and our need for forgiveness, then some of us would rather not touch the subject at all. Preacher, don't you make me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to think about the wrongs of my life. Don't want to think about the sins of my life. That's between me and God, people would say, whatever way they want to put it. It's very difficult to do introspection. I find it difficult. I don't know about you. And then there are others who've already drank from the fountain and who understand what it means to turn to God and to sense that the broken line is fixed again and the communion and the contact is restored. Oh, we know God is willing to accept us if we would only be willing to come. But now it is so true that many of us plead for forgiveness from God. We know inside that we've received it because God is faithful. God keeps God's word. But when we have to forgive someone else, well, that's another story. Yeah, I'll accept all the forgiveness I can get. But to forgive others, well, we'll talk about it some other time. Reminds me, sometimes folks are like that little girl who had a fight with a friend. And her mother heard about the quarrel and she tried to show her child that she was wrong. So this mother suggested praying and asking God for help. And accordingly, the little one kneeled, just like a kid can do, so sincere, down to pray, and for her even humbly asked, "Oh God, please forgive me for getting angry and quarreling with Susie." Well, so far so good. But then the child went on, "And dear God, please make Susie come to me and ask my forgiveness. And please give her no rest until she is sorry and comes and tell me so." So much for that prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Wow. Folks, we have some forgiving to do before we reach for God's forgiveness, we have to think about those who hurt us, those who caused us pain, those who angered us. And after forgiving, I think we can say, oh God, now do likewise. I've forgiven those who trespassed against me. Now it's my turn. Forgive me, oh God. Jesus taught that we receive forgiveness only if we forgive those who sin against us. That's why we say the Lord's Prayer Sunday after Sunday, whenever we gather. Those who turn to God and admit their sin also receives assurance of forgiveness. Some time ago, I was part of a small team invited by our conference to go out and to help with an investigation of the sad self-destruction of a congregation here in Florida. And our small committee for a few days had opportunity to speak to more than 30 people in different interviews and in the privacy thereof, a room at the church. We spoke. Remember it so well, I'll never forget it. One after the other. And we heard about everything that was happening in that church and how wrong it was, how bad and how wrong the things that others did. Oh, they told us. Oh, they informed us about what was going on in that church. But not one of them had a single confession to make. Not one. Not one said, I now realize that I was part of the problem. I did wrong. I also need forgiveness. No. You know, it's funny, if you ever try to point a finger at someone, just try it. You'll find something with these three darn fingers. They keep pointing back to yourself. No matter where you show the finger, you always have to deal with the other three. Very helpful at times. Many of us here can tell about the day when we first consciously responded to God's call through Jesus Christ. Just listen. That's what we read. The pleading and the comforting call. Come now, God said. Let us argue it out. Isaiah told us this. Isaiah 1 verse 18. And though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. You ever felt like that? I have. I still do at times. Still look at myself and say, God, how can I preach to others before I've touched your face? Know that you're there, that you understand, that you read me like a book, that you forgive. The German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, he said, oh yes, this was the same Dietrich Bonhoeffer that was killed by the Nazis during the Second World War. He said, whenever Jesus calls us, he entreats us, come and die. Deep words, meaningful words. When Jesus calls us, he entreats us, come and die. And we, the gathered body of Christ, we are the ones who responded to that call that Jesus called us with. Through Christ we gain strength, and what do we die? How do we die? We die to the fears that keep us from truly loving. We gain courage to die to the selfishness that keeps us from sharing our gifts. We learn to die to only seeking our own success and our salvation in disregard for all the good of all God's children here and everywhere. Good news is that God has promised that if we die with Christ, we will also rise with Christ as new creations to be God's children. And then once again we'll be living, loving, and worshiping together, caring about one another, and discovering anew what it means to be truly human. I can talk about my story, can talk about my song, but I dare prayerfully ask, what is your story? What is your song? How and when did you first become aware of God's presence in your life? Oh, we need to talk more about God. We need to talk more about God in this church. We need to listen more intensely for the call so well articulated in Scripture, because the same invitation still stands. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Long ago, this went through my mind all the time when we were working on this Ash Wednesday service. I was reminded when I first heard and understood this invitation. Yes, I was born with wonderful parents, and they brought me up in a way that I was not a stranger to our Christian faith. But it didn't matter that much when I was so young. I had to be a teenager before I really one day understood the invitation and responded to the call. And many times since, I recognized in one or other way the same timeless, loving invitation of my Savior as I heard so long ago for the first time and understood. But it still keeps coming throughout my life and throughout our lives. Come to me. Come to me and you will find rest for your soul. And from time to time when life burdens gets overwhelming and too heavy to bear. I don't know about you, but I still return quietly and seek wholeness and forgiveness again and again. And even now, ringing in my ears through the years, I still hear the call like that first time in 1953, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Right now, as we prepare to receive the ashes as a token of our desire for God's forgiveness, brother, sister in Christ, it is a tender moment. That's why we came this evening. It is a tender moment to once again, or for the first time, respond to the call. Come home. Come home. All who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. Oh, sinner, come home. Amen.